Okay, so we're back again with the game, what to do, act or react how. We've been having some really good series these last past weeks and so forth, and a lot of people have benefited from the content that's been coming out. So we're going to continue with that for now, and we just want to break through some questions and some scenarios, and as we go through it, we want to understand what to do, act or react, how. And so the scenario, the question for today goes out to several people who are in this very scenario, and there is somebody out there that says, I've read the Bible multiple times, but I did not get anything out of it. I can't understand anything, I can't get anything out of it, so I stopped reading. So there's somebody that's in that very scenario right now, that is, they've told him God is real, and God exists, and read the Bible. And that person has gone through and opened the Bible and read. And they've read it, but they didn't receive anything from it. And they don't understand what's going on, or what the Bible really is all about, or why even read the Bible? Why not read any other book? Why read the Bible? And to that person right now is asking a question. How come they can't see anything from reading the Bible? They've read it. We've read it. We've got things out of it. They've read it. They haven't got much out of it. So what's the difference? How come they can't get anything out of the Bible? That's the scenario today. Who wants to start us off?
Well, there's a verse that talks about Satan blinds the eyes of the blind people.
Yeah.
So they would not understand the gospel of Jesus.
Yeah.
So, it's a hard one. I feel like, you know, when you do see God, when someone does, the enemy fights back.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of right now is, I reckon still sick,
yeah.
Because God's more powerful, obviously he knows that your heart is really wanted to know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know, like, I'll keep speaking, but if I was that person, I would try to find someone who already understands the Bible, and for that person to kind of like guide you and teach you into it, because obviously that person has knowledge of the Bible, and the one that doesn't have it at that moment.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that person who knows the Bible is feeding that new soul, the Word of God.
Yeah, with what I was saying, to see someone else. If you see someone and you can just see that they're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, your spirit, trust their spirit, that they're genuine about loving God.
Yeah.
It would be good to have a conversation with them. But ultimately, you know, when you read the Bible, you read it to get to know God and to get to know who God is in you, not to get something out of it for a selfish ambition, but just genuinely seeking the truth about life.
Yeah.
And just keep seeking God, and you know, pray for the Holy Spirit to guide you when you do read it. Just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what, you know, he wants to reveal to you at that time when you do read it.
Yeah, this is a very tricky question, even for me to be able to answer it. What do you reckon, Katie?
Do you want to summarize it?
So the scenario is, somebody's asking and they're saying, I've read the Bible, they've read the Bible, they've gone through, people told them God exists, God is real, the Bible is real. So they've taken the time out to read the Bible, but they feel like they didn't get anything out of it. And they don't understand what all this Bible stuff is all about.
So everyone has a different level of faith.
Yeah.
Everyone's given, you know, a faith as small as a mustard seed, but that faith is able to move mountains.
Yeah.
You know, you may read something with a like tennis ball size consciousness at first, and you know, your consciousness of your awareness of what you just read is, well, let's say, like, you know, like a 12-year-old reads something and he gets, you know, this ABC understanding, and a 20-year-old or like a basketball size consciousness gets, you know, EFG. It's just, the more you grow, the more you test your faith. You know, what did you get out of the Bible? What did you test? What did you apply? You know, faith comes by hearing the word of God. So you got to exercise your faith to grow in awareness, grow in consciousness. That just reminds me of like some songs that I listen to. I just at first glance, I just like the beat of the song, you know?
Yeah.
And it sort of takes me on a, you know, nice feeling. And then when you actually sit down and start to listen to the lyrics and begin to put meaning to the words, is when you can get more emotional, more into it.
Yeah.
To put more meaning into that song, into life. It's just like the Bible.
Yeah. Very good point there. Anyone else has anything to add on top of that?
Even to like this day, thinking about like not everything I read straight away now, I would catch it.
Yeah.
So going back to what I was first saying, you have to read it. Well, there's a difference between reading something and studying it.
Yeah.
So going back to seek it and keep seeking until you find it. That's what Jesus promised me. If you keep seeking, you shall find it. And obviously, God wants to be in relationship with you.
Yeah.
So you have to have that faith that, you know, He will respond. But I do think, like, just because someone is reading it and don't feel anything, does not mean like nothing actually happened.
Yeah.
So the only thing I can think of is like when people first start going to the gym, like for the first, I don't know, weeks, months, they might not see results.
Yeah.
But then if they keep going consistently, the compound that will kick in, and then that's when they'll, like, you first feel it inside, but then you start seeing it in results.
Yeah.
In a bigger picture.
Yeah, that is a very interesting point you just brought up about gym. A lot of people exercise the same way. They go in and watch tons and tons of YouTube video and get content about how to work out and how to do things. And then when they go in to apply it, they might not see instant results. Some people, it takes them about a month or two before they start seeing some actual results. But you must believe and have faith that the knowledge that you picked up is what it is, and it is what it says it is. Cody brought up a very interesting point. The Bible was not meant to be a literature for people to read. It wasn't meant to be just words to read and see it as a story. The Bible is all about psychological truth. And so what does that mean? It means that the words that you do hear, I think the best way to get instant results, if you're looking for instant results, is to look for ways to apply it. That is the best way to get instant results, is to look for ways you can apply what you've just read. Reading alone is meaningless, it's just literature. But if it's not knowledge based on understanding and that knowledge taken into application, all the knowledge you've picked up has no weight to it. It has no weight to it. And so I'll recommend for anybody that jumped in the Bible and read tons and tons, stop reading a lot of verses, stop trying to finish a whole book in one go and read it like a book. Just focus on one thing. Read one thing and say, is this true? Let me apply it. Let me test it for myself.
Yeah, I mean, when you're reading the Bible too, not everything makes sense. And there might be just like one verse that just sticks out, one sentence.
Yeah.
Stick on that sentence. There's a reason why it's jumping out. You study it, test it, apply it, try and, yeah, understand it. And you know, if everyone would read the Bible, there would be many people with many different verses jumping out of it. And it's all what's going on personally in their life.
Yeah.
You have to take the Bible personally.
Cool. And then one of the things that I was hearing when we were going around the circle, I'm not sure if it was Earthful, but then one of you guys said something about finding somebody else that has that knowledge, that is working towards that. There is definitely multiple difficulties when it comes to really finding somebody that really knows what they're talking about, because everybody thinks they know what they're talking about. So what advice can we give somebody if when they're going out looking for somebody to help them, or for advice on how to go on about life? Because everybody seems to say they know God. Everybody seems to say they have knowledge of God. So for anybody starting new that's having this difficulty, landing on the right person could be the difference between them living an effective life or just living a life where they end up at the end of the day just hating on God.
I'd say, like, first observe someone who you believe sticks out to you and see how they respond in a situation that is challenging. See how they respond in a challenging situation, if they respond in maturity, in love, or if they're reacting. Yeah, you can just kind of see where they're at and if that's where I guess you want to be too, then yeah, just go to that person, I guess. And if how they respond to a particular challenging situation looks admirable, then yeah, ask them why they respond so kindly to this rude person, and yeah, see what they have to say to you. And yeah, that'd be my advice.
Cool.
Yeah, it's just like you'll know them by the fruits.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how you tell.
What do you mean by you know them by the fruits?
Well, there's a lot of, I've experienced a lot of people give me advice, and something I've seen it happen to other people. That they give advice on whatever topic that is, but that person is just saying that, then like, it doesn't, when you see it in action, when they can use what they just said, when they don't use it, that knowledge, it's not really effective for you to be convinced that the advice that person gave is working for them.
Yeah.
So it'll be really hard for you to, like, why should I take this guy's or this girl's advice when they can't even take their own advice?
Yeah. So you reckon that's one of the criteria? You should almost kind of like test the person you're wanting to take advice from.
Yeah, like, because what I learned from the very beginning of my journey is, like, really be careful on who you trust, because Jesus did say, let no one deceive you.
Yeah.
So that bit in Matthew 24 is really deep.
Yeah.
But it might be a little bit difficult for a new person to understand that, but
yeah.
I guess it's just, like, maybe when you do meet someone new, trust gets built.
Yeah.
So I think maybe it's like, it should be like that as well. You just keep an eye on them. Don't chuck yourself fully to them. unless you can really trust them, because I have trust like some believers in the past.
Yeah.
And they I feel like let down.
Yeah.
And it's not a good feeling, but at that time, yeah, like for like a new person doesn't know God yet, but they eventually know that God's dealing. You should trust, and my advice is, if you are seeking, just have this faith that know that you're seeking, God will come and explain it to you. Like you take a step towards Him, take multiple steps to you.
Yeah.
Always keep that in mind, because even like you try to go for advice from like a believer or something, they could let you down. Even if they are someone who takes this really serious.
Yeah.
Rather than like someone who just lukewarm about it. So always trust God that whenever you seek Him, He will respond.
Yeah. But very good points you put out there.
Yeah. So when someone, I think it is good to chat with the person that you are, or that you at least think that might be, that you think that person might give good advice to you.
Yeah.
But not to trust it straight away, and just to observe if they, walk their talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in the past, I have trusted people just so easily.
Yeah.
With that, because, at first, their first impression was, wow, like, they're so loving, they're so joyful and open, and, and I just trusted that first impression, and the more time I got to spend with them, the more I got to see their life, and
yeah.
I just saw that, they were just, that this particular person was just stuck in a place where I didn't want to be, and I wanted to grow more spiritually.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, I guess, there is a cost of putting your trust in somebody. But like Earth was saying, yeah, ultimately you do need to put your trust in God. And
you'll know it by their fruits. A person's words, their words are cheap until they've got their life to back it up.
Yeah.
And your actions, the things you do, things, your principles,
Principles.
Yeah, principles. Good. Find a person who's got principles, and who's walking their talk, and if you want to see someone who has results, who's used the Bible, got results, and get under their wing, like what did you do to get there?
Yeah. And then, so we mentioned about assessing this very person. Do you guys think there's an assessment period? Should a person watch this certain person for 2, 3 months, 4 months? Or what's the way to go about it? And if we're talking about watching and observing the person, is it just constantly meeting up with them to see where their heads are in a certain topic, or testing them even in questions that you ask them? What's the way to approach that?
Just follow them around, they go and get your batons. it would be good to ask them, questions that you want to know, and see how they respond. Just get back to me
on
that
one.
Cool. Well, if I was that person, I would like do research on my own.
Yeah.
And I would go talk to them about it and see their point of view, or would say about it and see if it's like maybe but I'm the same,
yeah,
or completely contradicting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about like following them everywhere, but like creepy, but no, like, I just keep it casual. Like, you run into them, run into them.
Yeah.
Like you shouldn't really just stick to one person to find everything out.
Yeah.
So
essentially, you have multiple people you're observing at the same time.
No, not so much. Like I.
You said not to stick to one person, so.
Well, we're in that information age, and we have the most powerful thing here in our hand, which is our phones.
Yeah,
and
but
we can, like, you know, don't really have to go to a certain person.
Yeah.
We can just look up whatever you want on the internet and say for yourself.
But really, that's what confuses most people, because we live in the information age, so the majority of the world don't have the knowledge they should have, or be at the level they should be. So what happens is, but everybody feels like they know something. So I've had a lot of people go on the internet and do research on certain things, and in research you can find good stuff, and you could also learn on stuff that is irrelevant. I've had people wanting to get close to God, but all the research they did was based on satanic principles. So I said, okay, what are you doing? Are you aiming for A or B? If I look at the opposite, I'll know what not to become. But then I said, no, that's not how it works. Because whatever you dwell on is what you dwell in. So there's a bit of confusion there. People don't know how to take on to it.
Well, like I said, yeah, like you have to come back to the Bible seekers. Like, sounds the same, not contradicting.
Yeah.
That's like you have to go back to the Word, because you want to find God, and people hear this. Jesus claims himself to be the way, the truth.
Yeah.
So if it contradicts the Bible, that means it's probably false, because the Bible's true.
Yeah.
So doing your research, you have to come back and really see if this is matching and goes with God's word.
Yeah.
Same with like other people's mind.
Yeah.
Out there. So if you want that rock, let's pay.
I did. Yeah. You gotta work out your own salvation. And you always test things. You always test what you hear, you always test what you learn.
Yeah.
And you always test it against the word of God.
Yeah.
You know, somebody, you know, might have a brilliant, awesome, wonderful life.
Yeah.
They tell you something, but you don't just, you know, take it in. You don't have that filter there to process that knowledge, to test it out, see if this is true for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, every time I deal with people, but every time I interact with people with problems, I always have to remind them that everything's within. That the answers, everything you'll ever need in life is within you. So also you have to remind them that, but then again, also remind them that they need to check with the Word of God. But then the Holy Spirit will tell them. The Holy Spirit, if you ask the Holy Spirit to tell them, okay.
Yeah.
I tell them to spend time, like just sit there and thank God for loving you. Be thankful for everything. I think what I found is that God reveals himself more when you're thankful. And genuinely thankful, not just forceful.
Yeah. And mind you, we're talking about somebody, if we're going back to the original question. This is somebody that has read the Bible, but didn't get anything out of it. So we talked about him doing research, like Earth talked about. We also talked about seeking another person for advice, and so we're still on that topic about how to test the person to listen to or take advice from.
I am in my experience. You know, I've watched YouTube and stuff and got all this information, but I was led to all these different places and, you know, I thought these were the right ones and all this stuff, which isn't bad. You know, everyone's on their own journey and,
yeah.
You know, I have these experiences now on my belt, but I guess what I would tell my past self was just, you know, to genuinely be alone with yourself, with God, and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. And I would just stress that, because it really doesn't matter what anyone else says. It's what your revelation is. It's what is the revelation they give you, that God gives you at that time that you need it.
Yeah.
And that will be a personal thing between you and God. And yeah, I think it's, well, for me, my advice anyway, it would be just better to be alone and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, because yeah, there are a lot of people, you know, whoever you are, you might be in a place where there's no one you can trust, and you can see their life and it's just not where you want to go either. And so if that's the case, then the best option for you is to be alone. And yeah, it's just my...
Yeah, so just to pick on you a little bit, because you said you've been through things like this, and if you were to go back, you reckon you would have stopped yourself from going out and seeking all different ways and forms to find God and just isolating yourself with the Bible? You reckon that would have been the best approach to get to Him faster?
Yeah, I'm actually applying the stuff that I learned, because I just kept going to more, places and learning all these new different things without even applying it first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why do you think you kept going to different places? Was there a feeling or pleasure that you get from it, or is there a satisfaction?
Yeah, I wasn't satisfied with any of the places I went to, because I kept looking outward. And like Sizzle was saying, everything that you're seeking is already inside you.
Yeah.
And once that revelation came upon me, it didn't matter what place I went to.
Yeah.
Because God had always been inside me that whole time.
Yeah. Very, very, very good. Very nice.
Just going back to the original question, you know, reading the Bible. What are you reading it for? What's your intention behind it? A lot of people, you know, have this Bible in their hands, and to be honest, you know, it's in the wrong hands. Like they truly don't understand.
In the wrong hands.
Yeah, they don't understand what they're preaching, or they haven't experienced it or understood what the verse is talking about, what the text context is talking about. Yeah, you've just got a lot of people
mishandling the Bible in the sense of so should we take the Bibles away from them because they're misusing it?
like Bernard was saying, is like, get alone. If you're seeking God, you'll find Him. You'll find Him, and it's your intention behind it.
Yeah.
I mean, you read the whole Bible and, you know, didn't get anything out of it. What, you know, go back to the root. Why did you really want to read the whole Bible?
Yeah. If you said you've read the whole Bible once, eh? What was your experience on that?
Very strange, because I didn't really like reading.
True.
I never finished a book in my life. For the first book to be the Bible, I guess it's a miracle, isn't it? Like I said in a couple of past episodes ago, I was just finding something that was sticking out to me at that time that was catchy.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, what else is there? And I just keep seeking, and I end up reading the whole thing, but doesn't mean I know everything.
Yeah.
At that time, I was just so interested in it. So now I go back and see what else I can learn.
Yeah.
And especially like now, just like before I shared another episode ago.
Yeah.
When I first read the King David and the Bathsheba story, I didn't get it.
That was a good story.
But just another dude took someone's girlfriend, wife, and then now me experiencing a like similar situation. I got more revelations and understanding of that story.
Oh, true. So the revelation and understanding came when you took the story and applied it to your life.
Well, I didn't be like, oh, let's go try this.
Yeah, but you reflected it.
I read it before, yeah. It didn't like hit me only.
Yeah.
But when I went to experience a similar situation,
yeah,
and then I come back and I'm like, when I read that story again, I'm like, oh wow, like what I went through, that's my situation, it's really similar to this.
Yeah.
So that's like another like, oh, like this book is true. Like,
yeah.
Has more, gives more evidence that it's true. Like, because one situation in my life happened, and
yeah,
it's like right there, happened to someone else way back. And then people, it's a journey, you know, like,
yeah,
you experience things as life goes on because time and change keeps moving. So from a year from now, like something that I don't relate to a character in the Bible right now, a year from now I could come back and be like, oh, I just went through what this story was all about, and be another like, I don't know, green light, like this book's more true and true. I don't know that that whole book has every single situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In everyone's life, you just have to find it, I guess. But
yeah.
Then it will stick out to you more than you experience.
So essentially, you're saying that this book contains every single thing you can ever go through.
Yeah,
it's got it.
Because like I'm gonna guess that, like, not guess, but I know that when you die, you can't be like, oh God, like, how come I never got any, like, I don't know how to deal with this situation.
Yeah.
Like, God can be like, it's right here in this book, but you just never took time to look at it, read it, study it.
Yeah.
Because there'll be no excuse really for us to point fingers at God,
yeah,
about what happened to their life.
Very good points there.
I'm just going back to what Cody said about intention, because for some people, for God to reach out for them, or for them to actually go to God, then their intentions need to be like, for example, trying to get out of debt. The only reason,
yeah,
I went to the Bible was for answers to get out of my situation.
Yeah.
But then I guess in that process, just transforming everything else. Yeah, so the intention, it's not always bad to try to get something out of it, because at some point you're going to wake up and something's going to hit you, and it may be a bad situation that draws you to the Bible. So the intention, obviously you don't go there and like, you know, like, what can I get out of this? But at the same time, you're in a situation that you do want to get out of, you try everything else, so the Bible's the only answer. But I guess before you actually get out of that situation, what I meant is that everything must be transformed first. You'll be transformed inside out before you actually see,
yeah,
what you want. Because you're not just going to go there, oh yeah, debts will be cancelled, okay, I'm done. That's not how it works. Because for those debts to be cancelled, it requires faith. That is faith work, faith works by love. So you start to understand love in the process of wanting to get out of debt.
Yeah.
And you'll be transformed. You'll be transformed instantly.
So you're saying you come in and reach out to the Bible for one reason, but the process transformed you in so many ways that you can't even understand.
Yeah, for some, for my situation, for my experience, I was going in there to get out of debt.
Yeah.
And now I'm stuck in there.
You enjoying our content? Thank you. If you want more, follow us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TikTok. You love the work that we do and you want to support us. You can buy exclusive content at Patreon and support us at Patreon, Subscribestar, and Crypto. Find us at our website www.realitycreation.co. All links in the description below. You are listening to Joel Benicia from Reality Creation.
Like, do you know, like, inside,
yeah, 100%, 100%.
Like, you transform first, so not just get what you want, but transform it.
So then, should we emphasize on that and make that the criteria that if you are willing to open this book, you must open it with a purpose and a reason?
No, not to. Well, I don't want to, like, feel like it's a criteria that people can open the Bible unless they, like, you know, people have a right to open the Bible, but you must have an intention and a purpose as to why.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm not going to look at someone. I might look at someone and go,
don't open it.
Yeah.
close them right now.
They can do what they want.
Yeah.
But for me, I know my priority is what I'm
yeah.
Maybe we'll
what's your intention?
I do believe intention plays a big role. And, you know, like, you can see a book and you can know how to read, but you just look at a book and you look at the words, but you're not reading what's behind the words or understanding what's behind the words. You're just, you know, I've done this sometimes when, like, I've read to children in my past, like, you know, they want me to read this little children's book to them, and like, I know how to read, so I just say all these words, but I'm not actually knowing what I'm saying. And it's not until I actually understand what I'm reading to the children, I start to get into it more.
Yeah.
And I start to actually understand what this book is about, because that's my intention. Like, I wanna know what it's about, and I wanna know the meaning of it and what the story is. Yeah, so I do strongly believe that intention does play a big role.
So then the question, should everybody ask themselves, what can I get out of this? Can the book, as such as the Bible, be viewed as an instruction book where people have to ask, what can I get out of this? And solely come to the Bible looking for what they can get out of it?
I know some people who have, you know, had like one miracle in their life, and they're, you know, so convicted and so convinced that it was God, and then now they just hold on and cleave to it for the rest of their life and don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, they're stuck in that one miracle, and that's their life now. They're rooted in that one miracle. They don't want to go anywhere, don't want to grow, don't want to change. Don't want to experience more miracles. It was just that one miracle, and that was good enough for me.
Good point.
Just to carry on from that one miracle thing, I guess some people meet some fear of, say for example, if someone was in a wheelchair for their whole life and they wanted to walk again. So that miracle has happened, right? They cannot believe it, they're over the moon about the miracle. It's that powerful to them that they're too scared as to what more can actually happen in my life. So sometimes it's a fear. Whereas for me, it was more like, what else can be transformed? That's what gets the intention. You know, like, I wake up talking to you about my debts every day. To like
talking about a husband. I'll cut it.
I thought you were leaving her alone.
I'll cut it. I don't know. That's how consciously spoke. Sorry. It's a trick. Alright. Let's keep going. So, we spoke about this person in that situation, and we've seen that intention is really big, and it does really affect how the results comes out. And the person reaching out to read the Bible, we almost came to a conclusion that they should have a purpose and a reason why to open that Bible, why to even flip the Bible, and what are you looking for? And if we go on that terminology, I know that a lot of people do open that Bible to prove that God doesn't exist.
Doesn't.
Yeah. There's people that have opened the Bible so they can convince themselves that it doesn't work. What do you reckon about that one, Knife?
I've seen it. Like, I try to look at other people's perspective, and like atheists and stuff like that. There is some that you can just tell they just read it and try to find errors and just trying to like attack it. Not really. And They just like, you can see they take out of context.
They read half of the verse, not the whole thing.
Yeah.
Don't read the whole story. And it's just like, that person's attention, obviously, don't want to learn that kind of reading.
Yeah.
I do have some people like that, and also someone that said to me, I have read it so many times, like the original versions,
yeah,
but they got nothing out of it. And I feel like maybe they don't even know their own intentions on why they want to.
Yeah.
But like from my experience, like I wanted to know. I was curious about it.
Yeah.
And I saw how God responded. So that's the only advice I can give, is just have faith that if you go into it with the right intentions and not like try and look for errors and try to like smart mouth it or whatever, have an argument with people, God will like reveal himself and help you understand what this and this means. But I think it will start small. Obviously, like, it doesn't want to bombard you with a lot. That's why there's only like certain verses that stick out to you.
Yeah.
Whatever your current situation is. Because if it's like every verse sticks out to you, you're just gonna be overwhelmed.
Oh, you gotta pick who to give the microphone to now.
Well, it's what you make it. If you go in there with the intention of trying to find something wrong, then you will. It's that simple. Your mind will literally go to something like, there's something wrong with that. It's up to you.
But does it actually mean that something is wrong?
Well, if it's right in your eyes, then that's right for you.
Yeah.
It could be different for me. Yeah. I go in there with a different intention. So if you go in there seeking and you're trying to find something wrong with it, you will. You will. It's simple as that.
There's this movie that was released last year, it's called Us. It's like a scary-ish movie, but, you know, they put up this Bible verse, Jeremiah 11:11, and it says, "Therefore thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape, and no their crimes may not happen to them." But they just kind of use this Bible verse to validate the evil that was brought upon them.
Yeah.
And you know, see, if you read the Bible with an intention to do evil or to validate your evil doings, then, you know, that's what you will believe. That's what you'll end up believing. And, you know, you'll have that Bible verse back you up, but, you know, the fruits of your life will show you, you know, where you're really going and how your life is really turning out.
Yeah.
With, I guess, how you're taking it in with the intention that you have. Because, you know, when you eat that part of the Bible and you produce that seed in you with that evil intention, it'll grow and then you'll see it with your own fruits, how you act towards people and how people have responded to you. And yeah.
And I know you mentioned the movie, they're using that verse. Could it be that things like movies and other things we indulge ourselves in plays a huge part in influencing our intentions? Because somebody that watched that movie, now their idea of what the Bible is sticks on that one verse. And it was from a scary movie, so fear is implanted into them. And so the Bible is now foreseen as something that holds a certain amount of fear. So I'm assuming when they go in and open that Bible, that's what they're expecting to find.
Yeah, definitely. That's why, especially for someone who's never read the Bible before or ever heard of it, and then they just see that in the movie, that's like their first experience of it. So yeah, that's what they're left with when they come with it. And yeah, that's why, it's just my comment.
Yeah, so yeah. If someone has gone through this experience, which we all have, the reason why we all ran away from God to begin with was because our environments, how we grew up, the things we heard about, who this God is, and so all that shaped and really chased us away from God. And so then, how do we start with a clean slate when we come back to the Bible? Because all this, if we attach ourselves to all our past influences, we're gonna get different types of idea of who God is, Some people are going to see God as this man sitting on a chair punishing them. Some people are going to see God as someone that puts out sickness to them. Some people are going to see God as somebody that's just willing to end their life. And all these ideas is not what God has said. It's what we've collected over our lives and so forth. So how did someone start with a clean slate?
I know a lot of people don't do this, but I would say try and just be open-minded. Try and don't try. Be open-minded.
Yeah.
You know, just tear down all the beliefs that you have about God. Tear down all the beliefs that you have about, you know, it's just like going into a different country and, you know, visiting a new culture. You know, you have your superstitions and your stereotypes that you have in your country, and then when you visit theirs, it's like completely different. And then you start to learn about the culture, and you start to understand more.
Yeah,
it's just when you come to the Bible, like, look, just tear down all your beliefs. I know that's pretty hard sometimes, with, you know, you may not even be aware of it subconsciously. You know, a lot of people have, you know, subconscious bias. And, you know, we're all a product of our environment, of, you know, all the experiences that we've grown up with and, you know, learned from, you know, parents or just people around us, friends, family members. I would just say to be open-minded and have a desire to change.
Yeah.
You just gotta want to be something more.
So whoever's listening to this, you have a conscious mind, right?
Yeah.
So you understand that you've been exposed to all this stuff, how people have portrayed God, how people have spoken about God, and, you know, when you talk to somebody, you're like, you refer to what somebody else said to you.
Yeah.
About who God is and what God does, or you refer to a movie, to how a movie portrayed it, or how a song portrayed it, or whatever it was that you were exposed to.
Yeah.
So it is, if you truly see God, it is good to actually forget all of those things that you learned about Him and learn it yourself, you know. Learn about Him yourself.
Yeah.
And
is forget a big word to use? How does someone just forget their whole? Because essentially, I'm using my own experience and other people's experiences. Some people have grown in 20 years into that belief system. Some people 40 years into that belief system. How does somebody just forget? How did they just lose what they've grown up into to rediscover who God is for themselves? That's a very, very, it could be a question on its own, because that's a big, very big question there.
You just run really, really hard to
that could work, that could work.
I would say, yeah, forgetting is a big
thing. Yeah.
And it's just like habits.
Yeah.
To replace bad habits, you have to replace it with good habits.
Yeah.
Same with food.
Yeah.
To not eat junk food, it's just replace it with anything else.
Yep.
I would say for that question is to experience it for yourself, the Bible, because at the end of the day, it's your relationship with God.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the smaller picture, let's say your mates or whatever, like three mates, say, but there's another guy, he's like this, he's like that, and you believe them because of that, that's not giving that person a fair chance.
Yeah.
Because that could just be, you know, that they could be lying, they could hate that person for whatever reason, but you should go, like, build a relationship or get to know that person for yourself.
Yeah.
And not just one joke. If these three people, what they said is true or not. So they should have that same thing about the Bible.
Yeah.
The forgetting part. Well, it literally just depends on how much you want it. It does.
What do you think?
It depends on how much you want to change.
Okay.
What do you mean by that?
Because I could have halfway gone, but this happened to me 10 years ago. I could have, But the Bible tells me that my sins are forgiven and forgotten.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Is that we've got choices. I can dwell on that, or I can replace that thought with, he throws my sins as far as the east is to the west. East and west never meet. You've got to change your thinking.
Yeah. And you obviously experienced something similar to that, because I've watched your growth happen so fast, and I couldn't even tell when did you actually shift the mind from the time that I first met you and so forth. And I know you would have grown up with different idea of who God is and so forth. Can you give us an explanation, if you can even track back to when it shifted or how it shifted?
Because
you made a huge jump from being complete opposite side to just shifting straight away, yeah, and being strong in faith.
I was desperate. I came here desperate.
Yeah.
For answers. I was just cause I wasn't working at the time.
Yeah.
Watching 7 to 8 hours straight. And then trying to understand them. So I do research. Like, what does this mean? Why did this happen? For example, when Elijah talked about 7 times, I don't know why 7 was important.
Yeah.
Right? So I remember asking you about why 7 itself. So I had a desire to want to know why things happened the way it did in the Bible.
Yeah.
I think it might change. There was a lot of self-condemnation when I first started.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, how can I like come to God when I've like done all this horrible stuff? Right? And I felt really guilty. And
yeah,
for a little while, it sort of drained me. It drained my faith, because I was like, how can I possibly come? And Joseph Prince was the one understanding that the blood of Christ washes that away. Like, you're as white as snow.
Yeah.
But it was about choosing to believe that, because if I didn't choose to believe that, I would still be talking about self-condemnation, guilt. You have to choose to believe that, and believing it is like a conviction.
Yeah.
So what you have to do is not just say, I believe it, but feel it. Like, what would you feel like if your sins were forgiven and forgotten? In that moment, create a scenario and imagine God in front of you forgiving you for that sin, if you want to. But you're asking about the shift?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What do you think really change? I know you mentioned desperation, which is a huge key to shifting from one side to another side, or changing of mindset.
What else? I think I was sick of living like in a life where I was angry at people and fighting with everyone, like just arguing with everyone. I wanted peace.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I learned that you don't hurt yourself, you don't hurt others, you actually hurt yourself more.
Yeah.
And I think I was looking for love. At the end of the day, I think I was seeking that love. And then when, like, you cannot go wrong. If you're looking for love, you cannot go wrong with the word of God. That's one thing I can say, you cannot go wrong.
Okay, so even going back to the original question, for somebody that was reading the Bible and not understanding anything, you could advise them to seek for love. Look for love in the Bible.
100%.
Anyway, you take them to the right place.
100%, but you have to believe that you're loved. And I think fasting as well was a good thing. Take literally a week in your room and just believe and talk to God, because the John 10 verse 30 tells us that I am God of one, so that Jesus is within us.
Yeah.
So sit there and be thankful. After reading a verse about love or something or forgiveness, be thankful and say, Father, thank you for forgiving me, and believe it.
Yeah.
And fasting is a good way to disconnect.
Yeah. You've just spoken about two taboo words that a lot of people don't want to hear. I bet you, just people listening to this, when they hear the word fasting, a lot of people go, oh no, I have to not eat, stay away from this, stay away from that. A lot of people run away from fasting, but you're telling us to go towards it.
Yes, if you want to be connected. I was that desperate that I didn't really talk to my friends. I wanted answers.
Yeah.
I disconnected from everything at one point and everyone, and I just went, okay, what do I do? Like, you know, like I was just, it was him and I. and he'll talk to you. He'll give you the answers. He'll tell you what you need to know. Because I tell you what, when you fast and when you're connected, that's when ideas come out. That's when business ideas come out. That's when answers for situations that no one else has comes out. Yeah.
Cool.
Just touching on the question way back when you asked how you forget.
Forget, yeah. We just built on our forgetting.
Yeah. I was saying with habits, yeah, that's actually a really, it's really good. Like if you actually start to remember what you heard in the past about God, you've purposely and consciously like leave it, like don't think about it. And you make it a habit not to think about it, and to, I guess in that time, just to seek His word in your time, and whatever sticks out to you at that time, keep it, and replace whatever the past is telling you with that, I guess, revelation that you have now about who God is. And you know, eventually over time, if you keep making it a habit, you know, you put it into your subconscious mind that it happens naturally, and that you don't even need to do it consciously anymore because your subconscious already does it for you.
Yeah, that's an interesting process you just mentioned there, and I truly believe that does work. But for those of us who are listening, you mentioned about reminding yourself not to think about it, and I know there's been times where I've spoken to people, like I said, I'm trying to change this very habit, and I keep telling myself, don't think about it, don't think about it, don't think about it, don't think about it. But the more they're trying to remind themselves to change that very habit, the worse it gets. What's the go with that?
I'm pregnant right now, and with my doctors and everyone else around me who's had pregnancy experiences, they're already telling me all the bad things about it, all the worries that I can have, and all this stuff about my health, and you know, but ultimately in my heart I know that God in me is my health. So anytime a worry comes up that somebody else said to me, and this, you know, externally, I just immediately and quickly consciously replace it with God in me is my health. I just believe that, and I keep, and I just do that whenever that thought comes around.
Yeah.
Whenever it comes around. And eventually it actually started. I noticed that it came around, and I didn't even consciously think about it, but I just saw my subconscious do it for me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just like the God in my heart, and I just thought that was, really cool. And it just became a habit, it became a part of me.
Wow.
To just believe that. Yeah.
Yeah, like if you're in a state of lack, you know, you don't have any money, you're always thinking of, you know, lacking thoughts. You have to assume that you're not. You have to assume that you're in an abundant sort of lifestyle. Like, just think about somebody who's in an abundance life, in an abundant lifestyle, who has wealth. They wouldn't be thinking about like their bank account, or you know, maybe some of them enjoy.
Yeah.
But like, they wouldn't be thinking of lack. You know, you go to a rich person's house, you know, go to the golf course, you know, knock on their door, and say, you know, you're poor, or you're rich, or something. They'll just laugh at you. You know, because they're not. That thought doesn't even come into their head. Because they're thinking of thoughts that are higher. They're thinking of thoughts that are higher. And that's what you have to do. You have to raise your thoughts. You have to think higher.
Think higher. And that's the process of also forgetting, is being able to think higher.
Yeah, but it's not about fighting the other thought. That's not what I'm trying to do. You let it come. But you know what? You replace it like that. That's it. So I remember when all these people used to call me out, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And before I understood this, I'll panic. You know, I'll panic. I'll be like, how on earth am I going to pay these people? But then once I realized that, all debts are cancelled and no weapon formed against me shall prosper, changed everything. In fact, I talked to them as if I was rich on the phone. when I understood that. But you don't fight the thought. You let it come, but you know what you believe at the end of the day.
So essentially what you're saying is, let the thoughts flow, but change the way you react to it.
Yes.
Or how you act to it.
Yes, how you act to it when that thought comes. Because if that thought comes and you put emotion to it, that's when things can get a bit tricky. Because you've added emotion and your subconscious is ready. You know, you draw that within you. But if it comes, and it, for example, it's like someone on a field, someone pushing me on the field, and I don't have emotion towards that, I won't remember that. Someone pushes me on the field and I'm hurt and I'm angry, I remember that 10 years from now. Because it's still in my subconscious. So when it comes, add emotion. I don't know how to explain it, but add feelings to the word of God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So get excited and like get happy and joyful when you read it.
Maintain your joy,
yeah. And I think there's a Bible that says rejoice always.
Just an analogy to put with that. You know, there's a lot of people were saying a lot of things to you, and if you let it, they're planting seeds inside your mind, and they will grow if you nurture it, and that's like, if you feed it, I mean, and you feed it by just consciously thinking of that thought and thinking deeply into that thought. But God does say that He will uproot anything that He didn't plant. I guess with the practicing and making it a habit to replace the lies with the truth, it is like plucking it out of your mind and planting new seeds.
Cool. And just to summarize, today, being a very helpful session. And so we learned that for one experiencing this situation where they've read the Bible and didn't really get much into it, there is a couple of things they got to look into. They got to look into how desperate are you in getting answers. That's one thing you got to look into. You also got to look into your intention when it comes to opening this Bible. What's your intention? Why are you opening the Bible to begin with? Are you opening it because somebody said there's something in there? Are you opening it because you're trying to prove it that is wrong? Are you opening it because you're trying to find out what's wrong with it? Are you opening it just for the sake of opening it and not expecting anything? Because even that affects the way and what we receive. When you open the Bible expecting nothing, you will get nothing, because that's what you're expecting. You're hoping you get nothing. And some of the things we do discuss about trying to do is isolating yourself with the Bible itself, because everything you need for your life is in you, and you've already got solutions to what you need in you. So isolation was an advice that was given, and fasting was a way of isolating. And don't think fasting means you have to go 40 days like Jesus did straight away. You can always start with 24 hours. Just lock yourself up and see what can I get out of this. Another one we talked about was finding somebody that understands the scripture. And this person, I know Cody mentioned something about talk is cheap until we can observe it in their lives. And so the first person you see, don't just latch on to them and give them all your trust. But observe these people you're looking at, observe their life and how they live it, and see if it's a sign of where you want to go. And don't just rely on outward appearances, but actually sit there and question them on what you experiencing and the things you're feeling and the questions you have to see what they're going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think just to finish up on that matching onto someone, it's funny because the person I latched onto wasn't someone in church.
Yeah.
A lot of people think church, there's someone, and I'm not saying anything about church, but I think be open-minded when you want to find like a Christian. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be open-minded because the people that will shock you, are the ones that are not always the ones you see at church at the front every weekend.
Yeah.
Just be open-minded.
Cool. Thank you. I want to ask one more question before we end. It just came up to my mind, and it was about just continuing from what Caesar was saying about not lashing onto somebody because somebody's got a position at a church or you see them at the front. What's the goal with that one? Do we assume that because somebody we see them with a big influence, should we check that person out because we see the influence they have behind them? Because a lot of pastors have a lot of influences where they go, and a lot of elders have influences.
I think my comment's not really on there. I was just thinking about that. You know, you look at people in the world and you might see like a successful business person and, you know, they're making millions, billions, and you're looking at them and saying, like, what is this guy doing?
Yeah.
And, you know, he may not be a Christian, but I can guarantee you he's using some of the Christian laws, he's using the laws of the Bible to be successful.
Yeah.
So just with that being open-minded, like, you know, learn, see, and then test it against the Word. See what he's doing to be successful. But go back to what were you saying
before? I was just asking according to position and people with level of influence, and whether it should be, because think about it, when somebody's starting new, and they see, oh, this person's got 1 million followers and he talks about God and so forth, you straight away attach yourself to, okay, if 1 million people are following the stuff that he's saying, surely he's giving us some good stuff, some good advice or some good words. And this other person only has 50 followers. I'd rather go to the person with 1 million followers because a lot more people are following him than this other person with 50.
Oh, Jesus only had 12
back. You gotta get this on the mic, right?
Back in the day, Jesus started with 12.
Yeah.
And Hitler had millions, so it doesn't really mean anything. Was it millions?
I would just, yeah.
But it just goes back to what I said earlier, like, just because someone, like in this case, someone has many followers, you still have to put them to the test.
Yeah.
Because
so it doesn't matter what title they hold.
No.
Bishop, pastor, senior, pope.
No, forget that. Like, because like at the end of the day, everyone, God doesn't care about titles.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's the same thing as I said. Like, just seek Him, put a test, find the fruits.
Yeah.
Because you know, it doesn't mean, just because someone has a big audience does not mean they're preaching the truth completely. Yeah. They could be deceived in certain ways. You need to like vitalize that person. You could be deceived as well.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, exactly what Cody and Earth have just said. And what you were saying before about someone could have 1 million followers, but then that comes down to intention. I don't know, I could have gone to the church when they had 100 people in the building, but we only had 20 here, but it was. What was going on in your life that wasn't happening in their lives, according to the Word of God? That's what you need to judge it by. That's how you judge someone based on their life, according to the Word of God.
So we're going to forget the level of influence, we're going to forget the number of followers, we're going to forget.
No.
Like, don't go by.
Yeah, like, just because you had 500 people here doesn't mean 500 people were transformed.
Yeah.
If 500 people are transformed, then I could trust your influence.
Yeah.
But you said something very good last week. You said judge a leader based on how his followers act, something like that.
Yeah, discipleship, so, yeah.
Yeah, so that's how leadership is judged, not by who's following, but who's been transformed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also not to get carried away and like judging other people, because we're all created, no matter the status of any person, we're all created in God's image.
Yeah.
You know, we're all one together.
Yeah.
We're all in this together, and we're all created for love. Yeah, so that's just a reminder.
Yeah. No, that's good. So if that's a reminder, then what's this judgment all about? Is the judgment pointing finger, or is the judgment about just self-protection kind of thing?
No, I think the judgment, I've seen it with some people that they and a lot of people have said this to me, that like they judge which church is Seventh Day, why do you go to Seventh Day, or why don't you go to C3? It's all this, I've heard it before, that people believe one church doesn't give the same message as another church.
Yeah.
So a lot of people do judge, and it's, I don't know, I didn't have time to judge when the church was not doing well, I was just determined to change.
Yeah.
So you have to understand the reason why you're doing it.
Yeah. So forget about the churches, and when you're thinking about following, have a look at the individuals. And what they're personally doing for their life.
But then at the end of the day, you follow God.
Yeah.
That's what you have to come back to, that everyone else is important, but we're all the same.
Yeah.
We're not everything person A knows, person B knows is all that's within them. Person A has just discovered it earlier than person B.
Yeah.
So we all know everything at the exact same time we need to know it.
Yeah.
So down to attention, why are you doing it? Churches is not doing what you're meant to do, or are you doing it because you want to be changed?
Yeah,
it's not so much judging, but just discernment and understanding. Yeah, discernment and understanding.
Yeah,
pretty much. And like, what's this? I understand that everybody's in a different journey, and you know, just hop into the one that you see as more process.
Cool.
Yeah.
You enjoying our content? Thank you. If you want more, follow us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TikTok. You love the work that we do and you want to support us. You can buy exclusive content at Patreon. And support us at Patreon, Subscribesta, and Crypto. Find us at our website www.realitycreation.co. All links in the description below. You are listening to Joel Benicia from Reality Creation.